Radio.
Sometimes it's good just to get back to basics. And we have in the Gospel this weekend a couple of very known verses from the Gospel of John, which are often repeated when people are asking the question, what is the basic gospel message? What's the essential proclamation of the gospel? And it's not a bad question to ask ourselves, because we often speak in our churches about spreading the gospel, telling people the good news. We talk about evangelization, leading people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet, if we were told, just to sum up in a few words, what the message of the gospel is, some of us might struggle. Well, these verses are verses 15 and 16 from chapter 3 of John's gospel. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not be lost, but may have eternal life. For God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. We do well to really ponder the weight of those words, really think about the truth that is contained within them, because that really boiled down is the gospel message. That is the proclamation that God wants us and the whole world to know. But if we wanted to boil those verses down even further, if we wanted to condense them into one statement, we might simply say that Jesus came to save us, that Jesus is our Saviour. And in fact, Jesus' very name means God saves. But how does Jesus save us? How does God save us? If we go back to the first words that Jesus says to Nicodemus in that gospel we've just heard, he says that the Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. And he's referring to an episode in the book of Numbers. This is chapter 21 of the book of Numbers. And it's a familiar story from the Old Testament. The people of Israel are complaining to Moses. They're complaining that things are not as they should be, that God's not looking after them. And we're told that God sends fiery serpents among them, whose bite brings death to many of the people. And when Moses intercedes on their behalf, the Lord tells him to fashion a bronze serpent and raise it up on a standard, lift it up on a standard. And then if someone is bitten by one of the serpents and looks at the bronze serpent, then they will be saved. They will live. Well, the parallel in the life of Jesus is that he is lifted up on the cross. That's his standard. The cross is, of course, an instrument of death and torture. But from the moment that Jesus dies upon it, that cross is transformed. It becomes not just an instrument of torture, but actually an instrument of salvation, an instrument of life. Through his death and resurrection, that's how God saves us. And that's what we're going to celebrate in about 3 weeks' time. But this salvation, although it's been won for us by Jesus Christ through the cross and resurrection, still has to make its way to our souls. It still has to be applied to you and me. And the ordinary way that that happens, the ordinary way, is through the sacraments of the church. And one of the sacraments that we receive regularly, or hopefully are receiving regularly, apart from the Eucharist, is the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. And this sacrament is particularly relevant, I think, to an image that Jesus uses in the Gospel several times, and that's the image of lights. The light that Jesus, in fact, brings in his own person. A light which we can see that people respond to in different ways. Some people accept it and some people reject it. And so too for us, the light that Jesus brings to our life by his teaching, by his deeds, by everything that he said and did, sometimes challenges us because it shows up to us our sinfulness. It shows up to us the areas of our life which are not in accordance with God's will, which are not the way God wants us to live. And that's painful for us because when the light shows up these things, it's asking us to change. In fact, it's demanding that we change. And nobody really likes change. We like to be like the ones Jesus talks about in the gospel, those who prefer darkness to light. We prefer to keep things away from that light of Jesus Christ. We prefer to look the other way or to put our head in the sand and not look at anything that is uncomfortable for us. But we have to, as Catholics, resist that temptation. And it's the sacrament of reconciliation which helps us to really do that. Because it's the devil that wants us to keep things hidden from God. The devil, for that reason, hates confession. The devil hates the humble admission of our sins. He wants us to keep things hidden from our Lord. He wants us to keep from seeking the forgiveness that Jesus gives us through this wonderful sacrament. And so we have to get in the habit of bringing ourselves, warts and all, in all the ugliness as we see it, we have to get used to bringing ourselves into the light of God's mercy, particularly in that sacrament. And when we do, and particularly when we're able to confess things which have burdened us for many years, or things we're really ashamed of, or things we've done which we think are unspeakably bad, when we manage to bring those things to the light of God's mercy in confession, we discover a surprising thing about that light. Because that light is not a light of condemnation. It's not a light which is trying to make us feel awful about ourselves. It doesn't bring pain. It doesn't bring shame. But it brings great relief. Because the light is the light of Jesus Christ. And as we've seen in that gospel, he's the one who loves us so much that he gave his life for us. So what we really experience when we give these sins over to our Lord in the sacrament of confession is freedom, is the ability to leave the past behind us and walk the path of children of God.
As a free, not-for-profit service, Credio requires the support of people like you to help keep us going in our mission. To donate, visit credio.org.au/donate.